Figure 1. Just stop a few of their machines and radios and telephones and lawnmowers, throw them into darkness for a few hours and then you just sit back and watch the pattern. Figure 2. And this pattern is always the same? Figure 1. With few variations. They pick the most dangerous enemy they can find, and it's themselves. And all we need do is sit back, and watch, and let them destroy themselves. The monsters are due on Maple Street, Twilight Zone. Will 2024 be the year the deep state's exercise in controlled chaos finally gives way to an apocalyptic dismantling of our constitutional republic, or what's left of it? All the signs seem to point in this direction. For years now, the government has been pushing us to the brink of a national nervous breakdown. This breakdown, triggered by polarizing circus politics, media-fed mass hysteria, militarization and militainment, the selling of war and violence as entertainment, a sense of hopelessness and powerlessness in the face of growing corruption, the government's alienation from its populace, and an economy that has much of the population struggling to get by, has manifested itself in the polarized, manipulated mayhem, madness and tyranny that is life in the American police state today. Why is the deep state engineering this societal madness? What's in it for the government? What is playing out before us is a chilling lesson in social engineering that keeps the populace fixated on circus politics and conveniently timed spectacles, distracted from focusing too closely on the government's power grabs, and incapable of standing united in defense of our freedoms. It's not conspiratorial, it's a power play. Rod Serling, the creator of the Twilight Zone, understood the dynamics behind this power play. In the Twilight Zone episode, The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street, Serling imagined a world in which the powers that be carry out a social experiment to see how long it would take before the members of a small American neighborhood, frightened by a sudden loss of electric power and caught up in fears of the unknown, will transform into an irrational mob and turn on each other. It doesn't take long at all. Likewise, in Netflix's apocalyptic thriller Leave the World Behind, produced by Barack and Michelle Obama's studio, unexplained crises lead to a technological blackout that leaves the populace disconnected, disoriented, isolated, suspicious, and under attack from mysterious ailments in each other. As one of Leave the World's characters speculates, the culprit behind the escalating catastrophes, which range from Wi-Fi outages and mysterious health ailments to cities under siege from rogue forces, may be the result of a military campaign intended to destabilize a nation by forcing people to turn against each other. It's really not so far-flung a scenario when you consider some of the many ways the government already has the ability to manufacture crises in order to sow fear, fuel hysteria, destabilize the nation and institute martial law. The government has the tools and the know-how to manufacture health crises. Long before COVID-19 locked down the nation, the U.S. government was creating lethal viruses and unleashing them on an unsuspecting public. The government has the tools and the know-how to manufacture civil unrest and political upheaval. Since the days of J. Edgar Hoover, the FBI has been using agent provocateurs to infiltrate activist groups in order to expose, disrupt, misdirect, discredit and otherwise neutralize them. The government has the tools and the know-how to manufacture economic instability. As the national debt continues to rise upwards of $34 trillion, with little attempt by federal agencies to curtail spending, it stands as the single most pressing threat to the economy. The government has the tools and the know-how to manufacture environmental disasters. Deployed in 1947, Project Cirrus, an early precursor to HAARP, the government's weather-altering agency, attempted to disable a hurricane as it was moving out to sea. Instead of weakening the storm, however, the government steered it straight into Georgia, resulting in millions of dollars in damaged properties. The government has the tools and the know-how to manufacture communications blackouts. Internet and cell phone kill switches enable the government to shut down communications at a moment's notice. It's a practice that has been used before in the U.S. In 2005, cell service was disabled in 4 major New York tunnels, reportedly to avert potential bomb detonations via cell phone. In 2009, those attending President Obama's inauguration had their cell signals blocked. Again, same rationale. And in 2011, San Francisco commuters had their cell phone signals shut down. This time, to thwart any possible protests over a police shooting of a homeless man. The government has the tools and the know-how to manufacture terrorist attacks. Indeed, the FBI has a pattern and practice of entrapment that involves targeting vulnerable individuals, feeding them with the propaganda, know-how and weapons intended to turn them into terrorists, and then arresting them as part of an elaborately orchestrated counter-terrorism sting. The government has the tools and the know-how to manufacture propaganda aimed at mind control and psychological warfare. Not long ago, the Pentagon was compelled to order a sweeping review of clandestine U.S. psychological warfare operations, PSYOPs, conducted through social media platforms. The investigation came in response to reports suggesting that the U.S. military had been creating bogus personas with AI-generated profile pictures and fictitious media sites on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram in order to manipulate social media users. Of the many weapons in the government's vast arsenal, psychological warfare, or PSYOPs, can take many forms: mind control experiments, behavioral nudging, propaganda. In fact, the CIA spent nearly $20 million on its MKUltra program, reportedly as a means of programming people to carry out assassinations and, to a lesser degree, inducing anxieties and erasing memories, before it was supposedly shut down. We must never forget that the government no longer exists to serve its people, protect their liberties, and ensure their happiness. Rather, we the people, are the unfortunate victims of the diabolical machinations of a make-works program carried out on an epic scale whose only purpose is to keep the powers that be permanently, and profitably, employed. This is how tyranny rises and freedom falls. Almost every tyranny being perpetrated by the U.S. government against the citizenry, purportedly to keep us safe and the nation secure, has come about as a result of some threat manufactured in one way or another by our own government. Think about it. Cyber warfare, terrorism, biochemical attacks, the nuclear arms race, surveillance, the drug wars, domestic extremism, the COVID-19 pandemic. In almost every instance, the U.S. government has in its typical Machiavellian fashion sown the seeds of terror domestically and internationally in order to expand its own totalitarian powers. Consider that this very same government has taken every bit of technology sold to us as being in our best interests, GPS devices, surveillance, non-lethal weapons, etc., and used it against us, to track, trap, and control us. Are you getting the picture yet? The U.S. government isn't protecting us from threats to our freedoms. The U.S. government is creating the threats to our freedoms. It's telling that in Leave the World Behind. Before disaster strikes, the main characters, on their way to a family vacation, are utterly oblivious, connected to their electronic devices and insulated from each other and the world around them. Adding to the disconnect, the family's teen daughter, Rose, is fixated on binge-watching episodes of Friends, even as the world falls apart around them. As TV critic Jen Chaney explains, the sitcom's presence in the story underlines how human beings crave escapism at the expense of embracing the actual present, a different way of leaving the world behind. We're in a similar escapist bubble, suffering from a crisis of the now, which keeps us distracted, deluded, amused, and insulated from reality. Professor Jacques Ellul studied this phenomenon of overwhelming news, short memories, and the use of propaganda to advance hidden agendas. One thought drives away another. Old facts are chased by new ones, wrote Ellul. Under these conditions, there can be no thought. And, in fact, modern man does not think about current problems, he feels them. He reacts, but he does not understand them any more than he takes responsibility for them. He is even less capable of spotting any inconsistency between successive facts. Man's capacity to forget is unlimited. This is one of the most important and useful points for the propagandists, who can always be sure that a particular propaganda theme, statement, or event will be forgotten within a few weeks. Yet in addition to being distracted by our electronic devices and diverted by bread and circus entertainment spectacles, we are also being polarized by political theater, which aims to keep us divided and at war with each other. This is the underlying cautionary tale of Leave the World Behind. And, the monsters are due on Maple Street, we are being manipulated by forces beyond our control. A popular meme circulating a while back described it this way: if you catch 100 red fire ants as well as 100 large black ants, and put them in a jar, at first, nothing will happen. However, if you violently shake the jar and dump them back on the ground, the ants will fight until they eventually kill each other. The thing is, the red ants think the black ants are the enemy and vice versa, when in reality, the real enemy is the person who shook the jar. This is exactly what's happening in society today. Liberal versus conservative, black versus white, pro-mask versus anti-mask. The real question we need to be asking ourselves is who's shaking the jar, and why. As I make clear in my book Battlefield America, The War on the American People, and in its fictional counterpart The Eric Blair Diaries, the government has never stopped shaking the jar. Source: Rutherford Institute.